But I feel like what the Lord wants us, me, you, is to, for us as Christians, as the body of Christ, is to live at a higher level, to come to a higher level. And that looks, I think, in many, many facets, many ways. And so I may just speak today about one aspect, and fairly simple sermon this morning. And it's more about what we give to the Lord. Now, I'm going to come out of Matthew 25:14, and it will be a very familiar passage to you. It will be a passage of the talents. Now, it's not always translated by every translation as talents, but I believe if you need to look at a New King James in front of you, I do believe it is talents in the passage, while others will put amounts of money or sums of money in replacing talents. But I want to speak a little bit about the parable of the talents this morning. Let me read out of Scripture this morning. It says, Jesus speaking, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver," or talents, "to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they used his money. The servant to whom he entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more.' The master was full of praise. 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' Now the servant who had received 2 bags came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more.' The master said, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you did not plant and gathering crops you did not cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I did not cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest from it.' Then he ordered, 'Take from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver.'" The story we probably know very well, have read it many, many times. And you've probably heard sermons about the talents, which was a sum of money in those days. And we see that the servants were called to account. They were given into their hands to steward amount of money, in this case, to steward for the purposes of the master. And they were called to faithfulness, to make something of it. Now we see one is given more and one is giving less, and we see there's different amounts. But that is not necessarily the point, because it's not necessarily about comparison. One could have 10, one could have 5, one could have 1. But in that, the master is not saying that you're better than this, and you're better than that. But the story, the parable, is about faithfulness, about making an investment with what you have so that you're not to sit around and say, well, little old me, I have so little. I don't have much to offer or much to invest or much to do, so I'm not significant. Well, this parable does away with that. It says, no, it's not about that. It's not about comparisons, and it's certainly not about comparisons of those who have more that they can sit around and brag about what they have and look down upon others and say, well, I have more. I'm more significant, and well, you who have less, you should look up to me. I'm the lead of all of you. But no, it's not about that. It's not focusing on what we don't have. And certainly, I see in this parable, we're not just talking money. We should see beyond money because talents can represent so much more. The things that we have been given, and of course, the master gives, in this case, money that needs to be invested. But we need to look and say, beyond that, there's things that God puts in our hands that we're not just meant to sit still, to stay stagnant, that nothing is done, but it has a purpose. There's a plan. There's a plan that what, in this case, we can say God puts in our hands has to get beyond these hands. It has to be sowed. It has to be invested. It has to be put forth so that there can be a return. And we see the two faithful servants did well in that. They invested. They gave. What they had in their hands, they gave. And they didn't, and it's interesting, I don't know if you ever think about this parable, it's not like they were given five and they invested one. It's not like they had 10 and maybe they said, well, I'll just do a percentage of that and just give a portion or maybe invest a portion and then I'll safe haven the others, or maybe I'll put a little bit of that in my own pocket and the master will never know. No, they invested it all. The ones who were faithful invested everything that was put in their hands. God gives us blessings. God gives us things in our lives. Talents, whether they be money, or talents, whether they be literally the giftings that he's given and put in your lives, the abilities that you have, the responsibilities he's placed in your hands. We could go beyond this. It could be the very children he's put in your lives, the grandchildren he's put in your lives, that these are responsibilities. Your talents, your gifts, the things that you've done well in your life, to maybe it's making money or just things that you're really good at. God's given us all talents. Of course, we shouldn't look around and say, well, such and such is so much more talented or gifted than I am, because we've lost it at that point. But to come before and say, God, you've given me. You've given things into my hands, and all of you know what it is to make investments, because you've all made investments, whether they be financial or whether they be literally into people's lives. You know that if you've raised children, you know you've invested into their lives. And sometimes you wonder, Lord God, when's the return going to come? And some of you have seen the beautiful things that God has done and is doing in your children, in your children's children. But we continue to make the investments. We continue because sometimes the amount of time is significant. Those of you know, when it comes to your 401k or to whatever it is, you know that if you checked on an investment the day after you started your investment, you wouldn't see anything, right? And if you thought that was the it of it and that was it and you didn't know better, then you'd say, what good is this? What good is this investment? But if you're taught and understood that the investment is a process and it takes time, and over time, when you keep making the investment and you're committed to the investment, that time will prove that investment will return far, far, far more than what you put into it. So we understand that in the natural realm, but there's also investments that we make in the kingdom and what God calls us to do. Investments make returns, but no investments make no returns. The key, and I think the key about the parable is to invest. Because what made the servant wicked and lazy? Why would the master say that about the servant? Was it that the servant showed no effort, no care? That the servant would just rather do nothing than do something? Maybe he thought, well, I just have one. One's not significant. Also, can it be the fact that the servant shifted the blame? In fact, it really seems like in this parable, the servant, the wicked and lazy servant, pointed back to the master and said, well, it's really your fault. Because if you weren't so demanding, if you weren't so difficult, if you weren't so hard, you know, that you know how you operate, maybe I would have done something. He shifted the blame back to the master and said, well, it's really your fault. See, the wicked heart comes out here to say, I made no effort because it's your fault. Well, we see very clearly that even what the wicked person has would be taken away from him and given to those who would invest. They actually would be given more. And that's what the parable tells us. So this parable is not in how much you're given, but is what do you do with what you are given? I want to look at a few people's lives that I think illustrate well. I don't hope I pronounce this right, but I think, are we all familiar with Johnny Erickson Tata? I believe it's Johnny. I want to say Joni, but I've heard it's Johnny. And I believe that was partly because her dad wanted a boy. And though they don't spell it like a boy's name, they spell it, pronounce it Johnny. Well, she was a vibrant 17-year-old girl. If you remember the story, maybe you don't know the story, but for those who don't know, she was up in the Chesapeake Bay in the Baltimore area and living life, church-going girl, she said, but she also said it was just really religion. But at 17, she was invited. They were playing out in the waters of the Chesapeake Bay. They found a little raft they were diving off of, and she dove off on the side that nobody else was diving off of. But when she dove, she hit a rock in shallow ground, and she went head first. It broke her her neck at the third, fourth vertebrae. Left her paralyzed. She was paralyzed from the neck down. They praised God because her sister was stung or pinched by a crab, and she immediately turned around and said, Johnny, watch out for the crabs. And then she didn't see her, but she saw something floating. She immediately went and then saw it was her sister floating in the water. And praise God, she was saved. Because she couldn't pull herself out of the water. They pulled her out of the water that day, took her to the hospital, and she stayed in the hospital for months because she couldn't move her arms and her legs. She couldn't walk, and she never would walk again. Well, as you can imagine, how depressed she got, how hard that was for her, for the doctors to tell her that you would never walk again. But we know something about her life. We know, and literally she said she was suicidal. She wanted to end her life. If she could have, she would have. Because she thought at that point, her life was no good. Her life was not worth anything. All of her dreams, all the things that she wanted from life, she felt like would never, ever happen. She saw herself as a useless cripple. What good am I? But praise God, she had friends from the church who spent time with her, who did not abandon her, who saw value in her and came to encourage her. I think one brought their guitar. They would sit around and sing worship songs. They would watch TV together. They would eat pizza together. They would just do things that friends would do. Basically, they were saying, you're no less to us now than you were before. They were being true friends. And they read scriptures to her. And they literally ministered to her in her worst state. One girl shared with her out of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and she said that really stuck with me because the verse was to give thanks in all circumstances. And her friend said, Johnny, you need to give thanks to God in all circumstances. And of course, Johnny was, how in the world can I give thanks to God for this? But the Lord worked on her heart. The Lord, as she was doing rehabilitation in the hospital, and they were working with her, and they were getting her to use her mouth to create drawings and how to use the muscles in her mouth and to render artworks. They were really taking her through this kind of occupational therapy. She saw others who were handicapped like her. And she saw the state they were in. And something changed in her heart that said, it's not all about me. It's not all about me. Because when she saw other people, she said, she had that thought in her mind, and I think it was a lot to see how her friends blessed her, is that she now could be encouragement to others. And God worked something in her heart. So she started doing that. She started even in the hospital just encouraging others who were in wheelchairs like her. And the Lord began to grow that. And over time, it really became a ministry. Now, again, I don't know if you know anything about Johnny, but she's written books. She's created beautiful artwork with her mouth. Artwork that's been shown in galleries around the world. Her books have been read all over the world and translated in different languages. She's been a speaker at large gatherings. She's a radio host. She has reached out to millions of people. Millions of people know who she is. She has her own outreach to those who are in wheelchairs, of those who've experienced what she's being paraplegic. She has even to this day, and recently she turned 72 years old. I was watching the little video on it, and she gave a very encouraging message. I think it was her 70th birthday, but now she is 72. She gave a very encouraging message saying, nobody gave me a chance. The doctors told me my life expectancy was a long, long, long time ago. It's a miracle that she's lived even to this long. And she says that. Like nobody, for what she went through, what she experienced, she wasn't supposed to live to 72 years old. And she is still alive, and she is still vibrant, and she still has her ministry, and she's still doing things. It's hard, it's difficult. And she tells you, and she says, yes, I would want to walk. Yes, I want to run. But she believes that those prayers will be answered in heaven. And she says, I can't wait to run in heaven. I can't wait to do cartwheels. I can't wait to flip and do things that I've desired to do in this life, but God gave me something else. And she's used that to the greatest ability. She's invested in God's kingdom, and she's seen millions blessed. And I think she would say it, that what God did with her life was far, far more than what she ever, ever would have thought or imagined. And how God has used her. Well, we're not all in a wheelchair, but sometimes, the way we think and the way we approach things can be lacking. Because we don't have the faith to see what God can do, even in the worst of circumstances. Or how God can take things and really shape them for His glory and do amazing things. We all have to be careful that we don't focus on our limitations, that we don't focus on what we don't have, but to see what we do. God has all given us talents. God has all given us a testimony. Talked about that last week, and I pray that you did it. I pray that you did it. I decided maybe I would take up homework this morning and give you a grade, but the teacher in me did. But no, I said, I'm not going to do that. But I do pray that you did consider and write out your testimonies. And not only that, my prayer is that you brought them, it brought to remembrance. You brought it to remembrance, and it encouraged your faith. And that you had the unction to share that with somebody, or it is something that now is something that you're going to share. Because you remember how God did this, how God did that. Even some of the worst circumstances or times in your life where God did something, changed something around, and you saw how he worked, that it blew you away. Share your testimonies. We must share the testimonies because they encourage, they bless, they do things for us and for others that sometimes we have no idea. I'm speaking a little bit more today about talents. But we have a choice. The wicked servant decided to hide it, to do nothing with it. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to make an investment, to make an eternal difference. And when we face God, we don't want to come before God and tell him that we did as little as possible. I don't know if you know those people on the jobs. Have you ever been on a job and that you watch your coworkers or people and you just kind of wonder about them because they're the person that seems to do or tries to do as least as possible and get by in their day and still get their paycheck, right? You don't necessarily feel so great about that colleague or person. I've heard stories. Somebody I know who's a supervisor tells me that story. Someone who works for a union situation, and they're like, it seems like their goal is to sit at their desk and do as little as possible. I'm like, what a life. What a life. That's not what God's called us to do. But we want to talk to God. We want to speak to God and speak to him about the things that he blessed us with. We gave. We blessed others. That how God gave into our lives, we were able to give into others and to do things with what he has given us. You know, when we give ourselves to invest in the kingdom work, God gives more. He adds to what we can give. And God shows that over and over and over again. Sometimes we have a testimony to share, and sometimes that's all it is to share, or we have a prayer to pray, or we have something to do that God calls us to do, and that's what we're just called to do. We're just called to do it, to make the investment. And then really God says, I'll do the rest. He has our 401k all set up. We just need to invest into it. The story, and again, another parable that you probably know very well, of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, or the 2 fish, that would feed a multitude. That was the idea. I don't have any, who here has watched the miniseries, The Chosen? Just curious to see. Yeah? Not quite half or so. So, it's free. You can just download the app, watch it on your phone, put it on your TV. There's an interesting story behind The Chosen. And I'll say a few things about it. But the ministry is about Christ and his disciples, and it's meant to have several episodes that really develop sometimes the unsaid dialogues and interactions that Jesus had and the people had amongst each other and with the Pharisees, with just people going about their day. And it really kind of sees them as people, each with their unique characters. And a lot of scripture is used, and there's fill-in. And some people don't like that because, you know, you have to kind of creatively put in the character of the person and kind of what do you think they might say or what do you think they might do according to what we know about them in scripture. But it's been viewed by millions, hundreds of millions all over the world. And for some, they've said that it's brought them back to reading scripture. It's brought them to new understandings and just fresh, kind of like the backstories. And just imagining, yeah, God, what are the backstories within scripture? For some people, it increased their faith and brought them to the Lord. What's the lady? The lady gave a testimony of Cindy Woods of Oaksdale. She says, I have cried watching every episode. No matter how many times I rewatch each one, the tears flow. Even now, I still don't understand why that is, other than the Holy Spirit is working through this series. That's just one testimony among many testimonies of people who have been touched by the Chosen. And I've watched it. I've watched the first two seasons. I like the first season more specifically, and there really are some touching scenes. And I can say there's been some scenes that brought me to tears. When the scene of them lowering the paralytic down through the roof, and Jesus looking into the eyes of the paralytic and saying, you know, your sins are forgiven. But that though those gathered here would know, he says, get up and walk. Get up and stand. And it's a powerful scene. I would say if you could just watch that scene, you would say, wow, there's something really worth that God has done that speaks loud and clear. And it is emotional even to think how that took place and how the director and they created this to bring stories of God alive. Well, the miniseries, which now has reached over, one estimate is over 300 million, 190 nations, 50 different languages, started as just kind of an idea. Now, Dallas Jenkins is the producer, and he tells of his own life. He'd done other productions, and in fact, he just said he came off a production that he thought was going to be the biggest thing he'd ever done. I think he called it I won't even remember the title, but he created something that caught on to Hollywood. Hollywood studio picked it up and said, hey, we want to put all the money behind this. We want to give this a real go. And so now he had a big producer to put forth this story that he had written, and he was able to produce it and produce it freely. He was excited. He said, now, he thought, God's at work. God has given me a big break and a big opportunity. But that movie failed miserably. I think he said the first week they saw the returns, and he literally said, it was a bomb. The next weekend, same thing. It was worse than the first. And he thought, at that point, my career's over. No Hollywood studio will ever call me again. What I thought was going to lead to great successes and great productions seems like nothing. I'm nothing. Who knows? My career may be over. But he had to have a coming to the Lord. It says he was working with a church in Chicago, and he created a little Christmas story for them, just for the church, to be produced for their church, for their Christmas service. And he did. I think it was like a 20-30 minute short. And he doesn't know how, but somebody picked up on it. Angel Productions picked up on it. And they liked it. And he said, wow, we'd like to work with you. And let me pick up his story in his words when he was doing an interview. He said, I was coming off a huge career failure. The beginning of 2017 was the lower point of my career and one of the lowest moments of my life. In just a couple of hours, I went from a director with a very bright future to a director with no future. In that moment, I was met by God more than any other moment in my life. God laid it on my heart so strongly and so powerfully and so clearly and explicitly that I needed to give my career to him. If that meant not doing another movie, that was okay. For the first time in my life, I was genuinely okay with never making another movie. God's presence was so strong in that moment that I just knew all I want to do is be where he wants me to be. Talk about coming to a place of surrender. In your worst moment, in your lowest time, but he found God in that moment. He was a Christian, but he came to another level with God. Because God had a plan to reach millions. And he spoke clearly to Dallas Jenkins, and he started speaking to him and his wife about 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In fact, he gets an email from somebody who he said he heard maybe once a year from. And the person was in another country at the time and just felt led to the Lord to send a text or a note to Dallas and say, you're called to give the 2 loaves and 5 fishes, but leave the results to God. And he knew that was a divine moment because that's exactly what his wife and him had just been talking about and God had been putting on his heart. And to get that really confirmed that the Lord was speaking loud and clear. God, after that time of surrender, would direct his next steps. Again, let's pick up in the interview. It says, Angel Studios saw the short film about Christmas and the shepherd, and they were really moved by it. They said, we definitely want to do your show, and I got really excited because he also, in that time, had the idea of the miniseries of Jesus. They said, we want to raise money through crowdfunding, and I got really depressed. You or I don't know much about crowdfunding, but he knew something about it, and he knew that there weren't many successes with crowdfunding, and the successes were not big successes. They were little successes, and they usually had big followings, social media followings, going into the work, the project themselves. So he wasn't too excited about crowdfunding. I didn't wake up thinking, I'm going to do a show about Jesus, and I'm going to be around, and it's going to go around the world. We're going to raise the money with crowdfunding. I thought all those ideas are ridiculous. It's just that I was in this loaves and fishes position. Loaves and fishes, man, like provide, this is his words, says, man, like I'm just here to do what God has in front of me. I'm going to make sure that whatever I do, provide, even if it doesn't feel like 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it feels more like a half a loaf of bread and a mediocre fish, but I'm going to deliver it and God deems it acceptable, then that's when the transaction ends. That's the truth that changed my life dramatically. Loaves and fishes. And we know the boy who had the 2 loaves and 5 fishes. And really, we also know that Jesus sat there and told the disciples to feed the crowd, the 5,000. He says, they're hungry. They need sustenance. And of course, that's what the disciples were saying. We're saying, well, do we send them away? Do we do this? And Jesus says, well, you feed them. And now they were left with this, how, what? What are we going to do? But of course, Jesus already knew. They found the five loaves and the two fishes, and God multiplied it and fed the multitudes. God can do so much more than what we can think, but so often what he requires is our obedience. So often what he requires is us to say, this is what we have, but what we have we'll give. Again, the boy didn't give 3 loaves and just stuff 2 in his pocket, right? What he had, he gave. And we know what God gave back was far, far more than what was to begin with. Now, as far as the crowdfunding was concerned, they had to raise over $10 million for the first season, and it was over But how they did it, I don't know. But they did it. The word got out about this series, and I think they produced a pilot for people to see, and the funding started coming in. Over 15,000 people were investors. The season was produced and was a great success. And the funding kept going for season two. And now we're into season three. And they're trying to fund, well, they are, they're already funding season four. Tens of millions of dollars. No Hollywood studio. No big names behind this. Just people like you or me giving $25, $50, $100. But God has used it. And many people are seeing and learning more about the life of Jesus. So often, it's an act of our will. Saying, God, what I have, I'll give to you. When we choose to give to God, he can work with it. Absolutely, we know that. Our attitude is important. Our willingness is crucial. And we need to see that sometimes it's also not the big things. It could be the life. In Johnny's case, it was her life was given to the Lord. In Dallas's case, his career was fully surrendered to God. Whatever he was going to do in life, he was going to do it for God. He was going to give it fully. But sometimes it's simply also surrendering our day. A friend of mine, somebody I know from church, Richard, from Destiny Church, he tells a story. He shared it this week, and I thought the story was so appropriate to what I was preparing for. I asked him, can I share it? And said, absolutely. He gave permission. And it's a simple story. But he talked about his day was going maybe not so well. He taught his class. He was going about doing different projects and trying to get things done. And it seemed like it was like strike one, strike two, strike three. It's like things weren't working out. He would go by and try to pick something up from the church, and it was gone. It wasn't there. You know, he talked about all these things that he seemed like he was spinning his wheels and just time was just going. He didn't have lunch. And he was getting famished as the afternoon was moving on. And he explained it that it was just a series of inconveniences. But finally, he was desperate for some food, so he went to the Hardee's and went to the drive-thru and ordered what he needed. Of course, I think he said his wife called him and said, order for us too. So he stopped the lady and said, hey, can I put another order in? Do you mind? And she was like, yeah, I'm here by myself. And that's fine. We'll get an order in. There's nobody else here. And she apparently was running the store by herself, even though there weren't many customers. Maybe it was 4 in the afternoon or so. And he noticed that she was heavy, just really heavy. And she went. She did it. She fulfilled the order, brought it to him. And he thought, you know what? I want to give her a card for church. But he didn't have any. He had run out. But then the Lord put it on his heart, pray for her. And so he said, ma'am, can I just say a quick prayer for you? And he did. He said he prayed a 10-second prayer. He says he doesn't even remember exactly what he prayed. But when he finished, he opened his eyes, and the lady was bawling her eyes out. He didn't know why. But then she said, your prayer meant so much to me. I just recently lost somebody dear to me. And right now, life is just really hard. But thank you for your prayers. We never know when we come across somebody in our day, what they've been through, where they're at, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it is, that sometimes, as Richard said, you know, a lot of inconveniences in his day, but he said, and literally in his words, he said, after I handed her the food, I asked if I could say a 10-second prayer. She agreed, and after that 10 seconds, I looked up, and she was a complete and glorious wreck. That was his words. She told me she had just lost somebody yesterday, and what I prayed was the most perfect timing. She was able to feel the love and peace of the Holy Spirit. He said, you know, really, if it hadn't been for all those inconveniences that day, he would not have been at Hardee's. He never planned to go there. He wanted lunch hours earlier, but all the things in his day just pushed it back and pushed it back. You know, God will use us in our day, even when we don't realize that, even as the day might be frustrating to us, that we have the opportunity to minister to others. And I sense that sometimes, and I feel challenged by this, because sometimes it's like, God, I don't like to be inconvenienced. I don't like things in my day. I like them to go smoothly and get things done. But we have that. Those times where God just wants to say, will you take a minute? Will you just take 10 seconds? That person needs encouragement today. That person needs God today. And we never know how it will greatly impact the person. So sometimes the investment is for life, and sometimes the investment is for 10 seconds. But if we're always thinking and always pointed towards God in a way that says, Lord, I will give you my investment today and every day. So Lord, if you want to inconvenience me, I'm going ahead and making the decision right now that I'm not going to get upset, I'm not going to get mad, I'm not going to throw a temper tantrum, but Lord, I'm going to see what you want to do in that and let you use that to bless somebody else. Sometimes we just have to let go of the way we think about things and the way we think that things should get done. And that's not easy. Because God can do things in a way that could be very strange to us, very weird. Like, we don't understand it. Like, how does God do this and how does God do that? Well, sometimes that's for him to know and for us to learn. But if we place ourselves before him in that way and say, Lord, we give you our 2 loaves, we give you our 5 loaves, our 2 fishes, if we give them to you, Lord, we know that you can do things that we don't understand in ways that we don't get, but Lord, we're willing, and we will surrender ourselves to do things according to your will and purpose. So I think as we close, I say, Lord, teach us how you think, that we could have more of your thoughts and not ours, and to even see how, Lord, you can take things, a career that seems over, a life that seems lost, or just even a day that seems to not be going the way we'd hoped. How, God, you can take that and make that glorious and beautiful and wonderful and do things that we just don't even understand. But Lord God, we ask. We ask for these beautiful blessings. We ask for these bountiful blessings in our lives, but to flow even from us to other people's lives.